and welcome to God in Our City, a weekly Christ-centered program highlighting what the great God of the universe is doing here in our city. Your host is Pastor Dave Watson. Pastor Dave has been the pastor of Calvary Chapel for over 26 years. He's also the founder and president of the New York Institute for Biblical Studies. But before we go live to our worship service, here's a special word from Pastor Dave.
This is Pastor Dave Watson. Thank you for listening to God in Our City. As we approach this season leading up to the commemoration of our Lord's death and the celebration of his resurrection that we call Lent, we want to make a very special resource available to you. It's a Lenten devotional book called The Journey Toward the Cross by an array of famous authors. We are giving this book out free at Calvary Chapel, and we want to make it available to you free as well. If you'll simply call us at 718-720-5390, that's 718-720-5390, we'll be more than happy to send you the book. When you call, please consider making a tax-deductible gift to God in Our City. That number again is 718-720-5390. May the Lord draw all of us closer to Him during this special time of year.
There's no God like Jehovah. There's no God like Jehovah.
There's no God like Jehovah.
There's no God like Jehovah. There's no God like Jehovah. There's no God like Jehovah. There's no God like Jehovah.
Wow, great singing today. You can clap for yourselves. You may be seated if you're just joining us by radio. If you're a regular listener, we are so glad you're with us. We're also glad if you're attending Pillow Presbyterian, Bedside Baptist today, because you just couldn't get up. We're still glad you're with us. We understand. It's a different world, and it's kind of hard sometimes. This is a pastor's worst nightmare, Sam. Changed the clock and it rained.
Wow.
Double whammy. Now, we used to, this is hard to believe, but the only Sunday that folks really used to skip here years ago when Debbie and I first came was Palm Sunday. So one year it was change the clocks and Palm Sunday, and I believe the weather was bad. Debbie and I had a great service that day. We had a wonderful time together. We were spirit-filled. This is a good time together, man. Remember that Sunday? Yeah, it was a good time. Good time. Good mess. I appreciate it. Debbie took care of the nursery, junior church, and did the ushering, ran sound. It was amazing. It was absolutely, positively amazing. That was a great day. Well, we're grateful that everybody's with us today. If you did not get a bulletin, slip up your hand. One will be given to you. Also, everyone, Journey to the Cross, this Lenten Easter 2019 booklet is available free in the lobby. If you're listening by radio, call 718-720-5390, 718-720-5390. The call is free, and so is the book. We'll be happy to get it for you. We've got a great week coming up here at Calvary. This coming Saturday is our karaoke social for individuals with special needs. You'll see an opportunity to serve in that. And I can't believe the number of people who have birthdays this week. Arnold, it's your birthday today. And you're like, it is, yeah. The crazy thing, Sam's birthday was yesterday. Wow. Rudy's birthday's coming up this week. Rennie's birthday's coming up this week. Wow. It would be great if someone was under 40 in that group. I'm just saying. Jay, it's just you and the young people here are just you and I. Amen. Jay's going to lead us in a few more songs.
Blessed assurance. Blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation. Purchased of God. Born of His Spirit. In His blood.
This is my story.
This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story. This is my song. Sing my Savior all the day long.
Perfect submission.
Perfect submission. Perfect delight. Visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending. Great from echoes of mercy, whispers of love.
Let's sing it. This is my story.
This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story. This is my praising my Savior all the day long.
Perfect submission, all is at rest.
Perfect submission, all is at rest.
I am my Savior.
I am my Savior. I'm happy and blessed.
Watching and waiting.
Watching and waiting. This is my song.
Praising my Savior.
Praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long.
Let's sing it again. This is my story.
This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
Praising my Savior,
praising my Savior.
Yes, Lord. And that's our story, Lord, that we have been saved by God. Amen.
Above all powers, above all kings, above all nature and all created things. Above all wisdom and all the ways of man, You were here before the world began. Above all kingdoms, above all hosts, above all wonders. edge of the earth. There's no way to measure what you're worth. Crucified, laid behind a stone, you lived to die, rejected and alone, like a rose trampled on the ground. He took the fall. Thought of me above all.
Above all power.
Above all powers. Above all peace.
Above all nature
and all created things. Above all and all the ways of man.
You were here before the world began.
Above all kingdoms.
Above all kingdoms. Above all worlds. Above all wonders the world has ever known. Above all wealth and treasure of the earth. There's no way to measure what you're
worth. So stand crucified, sing it.
Crucified,
yes.
Laid behind a stone.
You lived to die.
You lived to die. Rejected and alone, like a rose trampled on. You took the fall. I thought of being above all.
You were
crucified and laid behind a stone. You lived to die, rejected it alone, like a you took the fall and thought of me above.
Let's sing it again. Crucified.
Crucified. Laid behind.
You lived to die.
You lived to die. Rejected and alone, like a rose trampled on. Took the fall, thought of me above all, like a rose trampled on the ground. You took the fall, thought of me above.
I'm going to read from the book of Romans, the 5th chapter, the first 11 verses. You can just listen. It's a good thing to hear the word of God. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him we have obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our suffering, knowing that suffering produces endurance. And endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person would one dare even to die. But God shows his love for us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God? For if while we were enemies we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Gracious and loving Father, thank you for your words to us. Thank you, Lord, for what Jesus has done for us. Thank you for the difference that having you in my life has made. Thank you, Lord, that things would be so much worse without you, but I have you. Thank you, Lord, that in our relationship with you, we're not perfect, but we're growing closer to you. You are helping us to become what you'd have us to be. Please, Lord, during this time, speak to us, help us to listen to you, and then help us, Lord, to do what you tell us to do. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Thank you, Jay, and the worship team. Appreciate your work. So, it's the Lenten season, and we're not real high church here. You may have noticed that. You probably come here because we're not real high church. But we do like to set aside this time and do a special series. And in thinking through this, praying through this, really for a few months, I really think that God would have us look at Romans 5 through 8 in a semi-in-depth way. And really, those verses tell us about the difference Jesus Christ makes in each of our life. So we're going to focus today on the difference that he makes in us, how Jesus changes everything. And as we begin to think through this, I want you to think of the word catalyst. Catalyst is kind of a fancy word. It means an agent that provides a change or an action. Often it's a chemical that acts as a catalyst in a system. But have you ever seen one of these? Yes, you have, because they'll cost you about $1,500 installed. That is your catalytic converter. And you actually have two of them on your engine. So you may have the wonderful opportunity of replacing two. $3,000 or something like that. Unless you know Bill Fessa, maybe it gets you a slightly better deal. Well, what does a catalytic converter do? The catalytic converter is in a car contains platinum, which serves as a catalyst to change carbon monoxide, which is toxic, into carbon dioxide, which isn't. So the platinum in the catalytic converter changes that. It is the catalyst that changes everything. Something from death to life. Faith is the catalyst that activates our salvation and so much more. Faith, in our context here, is an exclusive dependence on God to save us through what he has provided in Jesus Christ. It is the catalyst that changes us and changes everything. Today we're going to look at Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 11, and our theme is very simple. We're looking at what we have, what the difference that has been made in our life because of what God has done. And Romans 5 and 1 through 11 speaks of the fact that we are blessed beyond all measure. What does it mean to be blessed beyond all measure? It means blessed so you can hardly take it anymore. Blessed beyond your wildest dreams. God has blessed us with more than we could ever think. Now, all those blessings are wrapped up in something called the gospel. The Bible tells us that we are not to be ashamed of the gospel because it is what? The power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. The only thing that the power of God is said to be in with reference to something is the gospel. It comes through the Holy Spirit, but it's the gospel. And we're not to be ashamed of it because it changes everything and everyone. We should tell people about the gospel because it is what changes people. We live in a pluralistic society. I understand that. So people say, don't shove your faith down my faith. Don't. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to be into it. No, 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 no. But in reality, the only thing that changes lives is the gospel. So if we want to help people experience real life change, we have to give them the gospel. And we'll see in these verses how the gospel works. First of all, it tells us the basis for being right with God. It says, therefore, since we have been justified by what? Faith. Now, there are some big words here. We're going to learn what the word justified means in just a moment. But the word therefore points us back to Romans 1, verse 18, to chapter 4, verse 25. That's a lengthy set of scripture. And it talks there about the situation that you and I find ourselves in. We are guilty before God. How many people in the world are guilty before God? Everybody. All. Now, are some people more guilty than others? You know, guilt is guilt. Notice what it says. In Romans 1:18, he talks about coming to, or the argument regarding the pagan individual. The Apostle Paul acts as a district attorney here, judge and district attorney. I thought about coming out in a robe with white hair, but you know, I really can't pull that off. It says in Romans 1:18, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. And what he's talking about here, as we develop the context, is individuals who do not have a direct knowledge of God through the law or through something else, so that we would call them the person who's out there with nothing, how that they, rather than see the universe and worship God, worship themselves or worship little idols that they make. And these individuals are suppressing the truth. It's not a good thing. And he says that God gives them up. And then it speaks of the moral individual in Romans chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. It says, for when Gentiles, who do not have the law, by nature do what the law requires, they are a law to themselves. Even though they do not have the law, they show that the work of the law is written on their hearts, while their conscience also bears witness, and their conflicting thoughts accuse or even excuse them. In other words, there's these people who are moral. They have the law of God written inside them. And even though they have the law of God written inside them, they can't keep it perfectly. They can't do it perfectly. So what do? Because of this, they accuse each other. Look, I'm better than you. What are you doing? And they excuse each other. Yes, but I couldn't because. But they are still guilty before God. And then it speaks to the Jewish individual that has the law of God. Please don't think that the law of God is simply the Ten Commandments. It is much more. But what does this text tell us? It says, you who boast in the law, that's the Jew, dishonor God by what? Breaking the law. So then Paul brings this all to an apex, to a conclusion, when he says this. Now we know that whatever the law says, it says or it speaks to those who are under the law. And he's drawing a conclusion so that every mouth may be what? Stopped. And the whole world may be held accountable to God as what? Guilty. Everyone is guilty before God for their sin. So here's the solution. Just don't sin anymore. Tried that, right? I remember the week in my life years and years ago before I was a follower of Christ. I said, I'm not going to use the Lord's name at all this week. Wow. It was the hardest thing I ever tried to do. You know, because I was lost. Please note now, in this same context, God's solution. Justification, which means to be declared righteous before God, is by faith. In Romans chapter 3, 21 through 26, it talks about us being justified, meaning declared righteous before God, redeemed, bought back from the slave market of sin. Propitiation is mentioned there, a sacrifice appeasing the just wrath of God. And then we come across Romans 4, verse 5, and it says, and to the one who does not work, what? It's not by works, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted as righteousness. When I put my faith in the provision that God has made for my salvation, Jesus Christ, I am declared righteous. In fact, if you've done that today, you could not be any more righteous in the eyes of God than you are right now. You say, oh, no. I have good days. I have bad days. Today was a bad day. God doesn't think of me as righteous. Wrong. He's declared you as righteous. Oh, I have a good day. I'm good. I'm cool. Wrong. Righteousness is not what you do. It's what God declares you. Get over you. If you think you're big enough to make yourself righteous, you're wrong, man. You're not that big enough. You can't pull it off. And it speaks here as well of our Savior. That therefore refers to our Savior. That more than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we've now received reconciliation. Having been declared righteous, out of faith, we are now no longer at odds with God, and we'll talk about that more in a minute. We are righteous. We are at one with God. And the basis for this is what God has done and the catalyst, placing your faith in what God has done. The basis for this is what God has done and the catalyst is placing your faith in what God has done. Not how good you are. Not how good you are, because you will never be good enough. Does that mean you should stop trying? That's another sermon. That's next week. Well, what happens? What are the blessings? What is this blessed beyond all measure idea from being right with God? We are blessed with the experience of peace with God. Romans 5:1 says, we, being justified therefore by faith, we have what? Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Out of faith, the source of being declared righteous, we presently possess with ongoing results peace with God. God is not mad at you. Some of us sin. Okay, all of us sin. Some of us sin bad. Okay, all of us sin bad. And we think God must be really hacked off at us. Have you ever thought that? If I was God, I'd say, that's enough. Watson, you are out of here. Man, this is happening, and it's going to be painful. But here's the reality. Because of Christ, I'm at peace with God. Not just a little bit, completely. I was at odds with God, but now I am what? At peace with God. It implies we're at odds with God. Well, I not only am at peace with God, I have the peace of God that surpasses my ability to understand everything. And I can be at peace with other people. Colossians says it this way, and you who once were alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he is now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him. He's reconciled us. We were alienated. We had hostile minds. We were at odds with God. Not me. Yes, you. But God has reconciled us because of Christ. Our enmity with God has been replaced with what? We say, I am a friend. Why are we a friend of God? Because Jesus died and rose again. Peace with God. What's the first blessing? Peace with God. Then he says this. We are blessed with an entrance into the grace of God. Have you ever heard of being in someone's good graces? What does it mean to be in someone's good graces? It means that they are favorable towards you. Have any of you ever been in bad graces with your parents? Whoa. You need $20 to go on a date. Shh. You want to come to your father, your mother? You want to tell them I need money? Not when you're not in their good graces. You'd be good for a few days, right? And if you're going to ask them to help you pay for your car insurance, you'd be good for like a month. Right? This speaks of the grace that we are experiencing now. Through him, that is by Christ, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. Through him, we've obtained the right of approaching by faith. It's not a works thing again. You don't come to God today and say, I've been really good. Let me give you the seven things I did. I did these things. Can we talk now? I come because of grace through faith. And it says, into this grace in which we are standing, from the past with ongoing results, I stand being favored by God. I stand in the favor of God. We stand in grace. Hebrews 4:16 puts it even more succinctly for us, as if we needed it more succinctly, when it says, let us then, what? With confidence, do what? Draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. God is favorable toward you. God is favorable toward me. He looks upon us in grace, favor. If you think of what our folks or what people look for in our world, everyone wants peace. They want that inner peace, but they need that peace with God. And they want to know, is God really hearing my prayers? During this Lenten season, people will do all kinds of things to get the attention of God. They will not eat for days. They will do this. They will do that. They will do this, all in hopes of somehow appeasing God. We know you don't have to appease God. We stand in grace. God is favorable toward us. God is favorable toward blessing us. Our position with God is as a person of favor. We experience then peace with God, entrance into the grace of God, and then we are blessed with the enjoyment of being in the hope of God. We have hope. We have hope that's different from the world's hope. Notice how he couches it in Romans 5, through the second verse through the fifth verse. It says, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame. This is a pregnant verse. Let's see if we can give delivery here. Please note that our hope is eternal. We rejoice in the hope of what? The glory of God. Our rejoicing is in hope. Most of the hope that we have here on this earth is not on this earth. We do not think that, you know, as I get older, I'm going to get better. We know as we get older, we don't get better. Do I have a witness? Well, let me walk up these steps. Snap, crackle, pop. Snap, crackle, pop. But our hope is eternal. We look not for the undertaker, but for the uppertaker. We are looking for heaven. Our hope is eternal. We rejoice in the hope, the confident expectation of the glory of God. Heaven is in view. Beloved, we don't know what we shall be. We know when he shall appear, we shall be like him. Listen to the words of Romans 8:18. Paul says, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. The brokenness, the pain, the hurting, when we get to heaven, we will not even think about it. Why? Because it will be nothing compared with the glory. Paul calls it a light affliction. This is the guy who had his head smashed in. This is the guy who had his back beaten. This is the guy who was shipwrecked. This is the guy who was betrayed by everybody, and he calls it a light affliction. Why? Because it's not worthy to be compared to the glory that will be ours. But our hope is not just in heaven. Our hope is every day. We rejoice in our affliction. Somebody say, I think they're crazy. How many like trouble? How many like affliction? Anybody here like pain? Anybody here need more trials? But we rejoice in those trials because affliction works what? Perseverance. That upomene, to remain under. Perseverance works proven character. Character that's been tested. And character produces hope, and hope makes us not ashamed. We know that everything we go through on this earth, how much? Everything God is in control of, and God walks through us with it. God walks with us. God walks with us through it. And beyond that, it is making us more like Christ. When we get to heaven, who are we going to be like? Christ. What's happening now? We're being made like Christ. It's for our good. We can hope in it. So we experience, number one, peace with God. Number two, entrance into the grace of God. Peace, grace, and then what's the third thing? Hope. And then we're blessed with an expression of the love of God. Because God's love, we're not ashamed, because God's love is poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Note the phraseology. It does not say that God's love is eyedroppered into our hearts. It does not say that God drips a little love into our hearts. It doesn't say that God sprinkles his love into our hearts. It says God what? Pours his love into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given us. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for the righteous person, though perhaps for a good person, one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, what happened? Christ died for us. This particular set of verses anticipates all the questioning you and I would do. Because if I tell you that the love of God is poured into you, you automatically will say, I'm not worthy of his love. I'm not worthy. So what Paul makes sure you understand is that God doesn't love you because you're worthy. God loves you because he loves you. God loves you though you're a sinner. God loves you though you are sinning right now. God loves you though he knows you will sin tomorrow. God loves you though he knows you will sin next week and the week after and the week after and the week after. God loves you in spite of your sin. Doesn't mean he wants you to stay doing the same things you're doing, but it doesn't change the depth of his love for you. So we want to understand that God's love is unending. It has been poured into our hearts through the freely given Holy Spirit. The fact that God gives you his Holy Spirit shows you how much he loves you. And then he is in the process of helping you through everything and giving you and helping you to experience his love. But also, God's love is unconditional. Christ died for us when we were weak. We had nothing to offer God. And it even goes a little bit further. It calls us ungodly. I don't like being called ungodly, but it's true. Godliness means God-bent. So what does ungodliness mean? No God-bent. I'm the opposite. And Christ loves us. Christ died for us when we were un-God-bent, when we were going the other direction. And Christ died for us while we were still sinners. God never said to us, hey, clean up your act, and I'll send Jesus to die. Jesus never said, my blood will atone for your sin when you're no longer a sinner, or when you no longer do that sin, or when you only have 80 sins and not 180 sins. Jesus never made that a condition. The condition is, I love you unconditionally. So we experience peace with God, entrance into the grace of God, enjoyment of the hope of God, and this wonderful experience of the love of God. And then we're blessed with an expectation for the salvation of God. Now, verses 9 and 10 are full verses again. You know, I've wondered in my life how the great preachers of our time, Barnhouse from years ago, others in recent years, they spent 13 years preaching through Romans. Whew. You know, if I spent 13 years preaching through Romans, I would be preaching the last year or two to myself. But it's such a full book. But look at verses 9 and 10. Since therefore we have been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more, now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. Now, this is very important for us to understand. It's a struggle for us. All of us want a fire escape from hell. Anybody want to go to hell? So I was just checking. We don't want to go to hell. So Jesus died for my sins, so I don't have to go to hell. I'm in. But we don't realize that which sends us to hell is our sin. And sin doesn't just send you to hell, it ruins everything. It ruins everything. How much does it ruin? Everything. So I need saving not just from what sin ultimately results in, its penalty, me going to hell. I need saving from sin's power. Because sin is messing my life up every day. It messes up every relationship I have. It messes up everything I do. So I need to be saved from that. Notice what it tells us that Jesus does. We are permanently saved from God's wrath. It says, but if our unrighteousness serves to show the righteousness of God, what will we say? That God is unrighteous to inflict wrath on us. He's speaking about the unsaved person. And he says, is God unrighteous to inflict wrath on people? No. Why? Because unrighteousness deserves to be judged. But then he says this, whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever doesn't obey the Son shall not see life. But right now is under the wrath of God. The wrath of God remains on him. Because of sin, because of what sin does, where am I at if I don't have Christ? Right now, at this moment, I'm under the wrath of God. Oh, no, the wrath of God is later. No, right now. Right now you're experiencing the wrath of God. But we're permanently saved by Jesus' life. Part of that permanent salvation is the fact that we know that for those who love God, all things work together what? For good. For those who are called according to his purpose. And then he uses some really big words. So hang on. Everybody grab your seat. Everybody ready? For those whom he foreknew, he also what? Predestinated. One person asked me one time, they said, you don't believe in predestination, do you? What do you want me to do with the verse, man? To be conformed to the image of his son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And those whom he predestined, he also what? Called. And those whom he called, he also what? Justified. And those whom he justified, he also what? Glorified. Now notice all those verbs are in what tense? The past. Whoa. Let's back up. Predestination in the past. Yeah, I understand that. Called in the past, yep, I understand that. Justified in the past, well, yeah, I understand that. Glorified, that's heaven. That's in the past. It sounds future, but it's in the past. Why is it in the past? Because in God's eyes, it's done. You're getting to heaven whether you want to or not. You're being saved from the penalty and the presence of your sin because of what God has done, not what you've tried to do. Hebrews 7:25, which I don't have up there, tells us that he is able to save to the uttermost those who come to him, who believe in him, because he ever lives to make intercession for us. Whew. You sin. Look at the person next to you and say, you sin too much. No, don't do that. I'm just joking. I'm going to have a couple ruined marriages today. I would think that God, when I sin, would say, you know, I'm done with you. But if you have that thought, know this. Jesus is at the right hand of God, ever making intercession for you. He doesn't have to say a word. The Father needs only look to his right and see the scarred hands, the pierced hands,
and the punctured side and the wounded feet. To know that you are forgiven and you are forgiven permanently. And that every day it can be different for you because of Jesus. This particular amazing section ends with a benediction. So we have these things now in our life. We have peace because of Christ. Not only do we have peace, we have grace that we stand in. We have hope. Beyond hope, we have love. Beyond all of it, we have this amazing salvation. So in this benediction, because of us being right with God, Paul says this under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. More than that, you're blessed beyond measure. But more than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. I have been known, my family has been known, to sometimes overdo it at Christmas with our children. Anybody here do that? And now that we have grandchildren, well, if you look at what God's done, he's overdone it, man. He's overdone it. You know, let me talk to you what we've got here. I gave you peace. Not as the world gives. I give a peace that's eternal, that's everlasting, that's real, that's deep. Oh, and you sit now in grace. You stand in grace. Anytime you want to come and talk to me, that's fine. I'm approachable. I'm not angry with you. You rest in grace. Oh, by the way, you have hope. You're going to become like Christ in this life, even though you're having a tough time, but you have hope. And beyond that, when you leave this life, your hope is for a better place in heaven forever and ever. And oh, I'm sorry, I also gave you a whole bunch of love, a love that's unending, everlasting, unconditional, and it's all yours. But much more than that, Ginzu knives. We also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we now have the what? Reconciliation. Reconciliation is just such a powerful word. Please see the duration of our rejoicing. We are continually rejoicing, it says here. More than that, we also are continually rejoicing in God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The rejoicing just doesn't stop because of what God has done. The sphere of our rejoicing is quite interesting to me. He says it's in God. It's not in ourselves. We don't rejoice because we did it. I suppose that's why in America our gospel is so unpopular, because we say you can't. Because it's not about you, it's about what Jesus did. There are not 7 sacraments to keep that make it all right. There are not 10 commandments to strive after to make you right with God. There's not even 5 pillars that involving Mecca that make it all better. There's just what Jesus has done, activated by the catalyst of faith. It tells us in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, "For by grace you have been saved, through faith. And this is not your own doing. It's a gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast." I can never run around saying, you know what? I did a bunch of really cool things, so God started to love me, and then he said one day, you can be my child. It's not what happened. That's what happened for any of us. The agency of our rejoicing is through our Lord Jesus Christ, his death, his burial, his resurrection. What did Jesus actually do for us? Colossians 2, 13 and 14 lays it out when it says this, "And you who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh." Amen. That's a tough verse. "God made alive together with him." And then it says, "Having forgiven us," how many of our trespasses?
Oh.
How did he forgive them? By canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. Do you see the phrase record of debt there? That word record of debt comes from the term, an ancient term that I'll put in our terms, IOU. An IOU is actually a legal document. You can write an IOU, go to a notary, write your name on it. I owe you this much. I had an IOU. I had an outstanding debt for not some of my sin, but all of my sin. The penalty for that was separation from God forever. What happened to that debt? He canceled the record of debt that stood against us with his legal demands. How did he do that? He nailed it to the cross. Now go to any of the gospel accounts. What does it say Jesus was charged with? It said they put a nail up with a charge against Jesus. What was the charge? King of the Jews. That's what the physical charge was. You know what was nailed to that cross, though, spiritually speaking? My IOU. Your IOU. And he paid that debt completely. He paid the debt of separation of God forever, experiencing the wrath of God on the cross. That's why he cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken?" And when he said, "It is finished," my debt and your debt was paid both now and eternally. He nailed it to the cross. He wiped it away. He canceled it. Why do we rejoice? Because we've been reconciled to God. We are in a right relationship with God. I'm not talking about how you're doing today. Today, I don't care how you're doing. Well, I mean later after the service, I might. But it's not about your state. How are things going today? It's about your standing with God, which does not change. Paul will say this. He'll say, "All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself, who gave us the ministry of reconciliation." Note that if you've been reconciled, if you have this right relationship with God now, you're in the ministry. You thought only I was in the ministry today. No, everyone who has been reconciled is in the ministry. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. May God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be what? Reconciled to God. Be reconciled to God. Today, if you don't have Christ as your personal Savior, it is though God was imploring you through me. This is what I'm saying to you. Be reconciled to God, so that you can have peace, you can experience grace, you can know this amazing hope, you can have this love, you can have this salvation, you can be full because of what Christ has done. Jesus changes.
This is Pastor Dave Watson. Thank you for listening to God in Our City. As we approach this season leading up to the commemoration of our Lord's death and the celebration of his resurrection that we call Lent, we want to make a very special resource available to you. It's a Lenten devotional book called The Journey Toward the Cross by an array of famous authors. We are giving this book out free at Calvary Chapel, and we want to make it available to you free as well. If you'll simply call us at 718-720-5390, that's 718-720-5390, we'll be more than happy to send you the book. When you call, please consider making a tax-deductible gift to God in Our City. That number again is 718-720-5390. May the Lord draw all of us closer to him during this special time of year.
God in Our Our City is an extension of the ministry of Pastor Dave Watson and Calvary Chapel on Staten Island. For more information about Calvary Chapel, please visit their website at calvarychapelsi.org. That's calvarychapelsi.org. Or call the church office at 718-720-5390. That's 718-720-5390. To contact Pastor Dave, please email him at nycshepherd@gmail.com. That's nycshepherd@gmail.com. Pastor Dave would love to hear from you. Also, be sure to check out his blog at nycshepherd.com. That's nycshepherd.com.